This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorwath. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you're a regular Environment Matters listener, you'll remember that back in April, I spoke to Simon Aldridge, co-founder of the National Emergency Briefing. It's an organisation that's produced a 50-minute film consisting of experts giving crucial information to an audience of MPs about human-induced climate change and the impacts that it's having and will have on us around the world. Now, the film's narrated by Chris Packham and also has both celebrities and ordinary people giving their reactions to what the scientists say, which Simon Aldridge has told us was to help us process what we saw and heard. Now, the ultimate aim of the National Emergency Briefing, the organisation that made the film, is a televised national emergency briefing, like we had about COVID, but this time about human-induced climate change. Their second ask is for a national emergency response, so a programme of climate action similar, again, in scale to what we did for COVID, or perhaps something like the Second World War. And finally, their third ask is that the UK leads strong global climate action. So the People's Climate Emergency Briefing film was released with the idea that it would be shown across the UK at as many community screenings as possible. Now, there have been about 1,400 screenings so far, with many more planned, including here in Hertfordshire. I spoke to two local people, both seasoned climate campaigners, who have really thrown themselves into helping at a huge number of screenings, to ask them what they thought of the film, what it was bringing that other climate films hadn't, and why they think holding a People's National Emergency Briefing film screening is something we could all consider. Let's start with Ed Jarvis. And I started by asking Ed to remember back, think about the first time he saw the People's Climate Emergency Briefing film and tell us what his reaction was.
So many reactions and emotions. A lot of what I saw in the film I did already know, but there was stuff that I didn't know. And every time I hear the film now, when I facilitate it, the little intro music, I get the same emotional reaction. That's why I can remember it. So I've got two children. I've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. And, you know, I'm terrified for their future. And I'm having the reaction now as I talk about this. And from watching it, I felt sad. I felt angry. I felt frustrated. I felt everything. We've just left things so late, and I think that really comes through, that frustration. Yeah, so all of those.
And I wondered, I mean, there have been a lot of films and documentaries, television programs, loads on YouTube about climate change. I wondered why you thought that this was particularly powerful.
So I think the thing about this is that it's being insisted that we do this in community. And that's the difference. So the fact that the Aldridge brothers are saying, look, we've got this film here. What we want is we're only going to show it where people are together, face to face, in community, so that not only is it about seeing how difficult the future is, it's about how do we come together and face in to that present and future. So I think the difference here is it's community focused.
As you say, you've been involved in a lot of screenings, a lot of people there together watching this. How have they reacted? And I wondered what difference you thought it did make to them that they were there with their friends and family and other people they knew.
I think it depends on who is in the room. I asked some questions at the beginning, so who's not been to an eco or environmental meeting? And I've had a range of answers to that. I think typically it's about 50% of the room, in my experience, haven't been to an eco or environmental meeting, which is brilliant. So for them, I think there is a level of kind of stunned silence at the end. I think for people who are in the climate movement or active in the environmental movement in some way, it's more confirming that things are difficult. The wonderful thing, I think, in terms of the overall reaction is I've had to be really strict about the time allocated to these things because the conversation could have gone on for another hour. So there's been no lack of engagement and enthusiasm in the post-screening discussion. That's the thing that's really, really wonderfully hopeful about it.
And just going back to those people who've never been to an environmental event before, do you have any thought about why they've come along to this in particular?
It's a really good question. I think there is a silent climate-concerned majority now on the planet. 89% of the people are concerned and do want more climate action. And I think the better we are as a climate movement at reaching out to those people and saying, oh, hey, look, there's a film on this. Let's come together and not just be doomy about it. Let's use this as a way of focusing on our agency in terms of what we do about it. I think the majority of the British public aren't really up for that. They just need someone to break the silence, raise their head up above the parapet, if you like, and say, do you know what? Things are difficult, but why don't we all come together and talk about it and figure out what we do about it? So I think it's down to the way we promote it. It's critical that we get to that silent climate concern majority.
And I just wondered if you thought that from people who are already concerned, is it helpful, as you say, avoiding more doom and gloom? We have plenty of that. But being with other people who are agreeing we should be doing more, is that helpful, do you think? You find that helpful?
Yeah, I find it really helpful. I find it incredibly uplifting. The best bit of the whole thing for me is the post-screening conversation. But honestly, it's also the hour plus after the screening that people are coming up to me and the organisers talking about, oh, can you come and facilitate here? How do we put on a screening here? Or, you know, I'd love to put it on it at work. Or how do we connect? It's all that conversation that happens after the screening. I find it incredibly uplifting. And that's the bit that we really need to focus on, I think.
Yes. So people are asking you this, and we'd love to hear, how easy is it to host a screening and to do all of that facilitation stuff that you were just talking about?
It's very easy. It couldn't be easier. There's so many resources. There's so many people who are up for helping. If you go to the NEB website, you'll see there's a whole screening pack and a checklist. They've really created everything you can possibly imagine. There's posters, there's text for WhatsApp groups, there's information for Facebook. There's everything you could possibly imagine in terms of support. There's a wonderful WhatsApp group with about 300-400 people on it that are up for helping. I'm an NEB connector as well for in and around Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire. And there's other people like it. There's people in Hertfordshire and Bedfordshire area that would be up for helping. If people are struggling and thinking, oh, yeah, I'm up for setting it up, I really don't want to facilitate it, that's fine. Take it as far as you go. We've got facilitators that will be up for coming in and doing the facilitation, but are perhaps less interested or don't have time for the promotion. So it's a team effort. Couldn't be easier. I couldn't encourage people more to give it a go. This is one of the things that could actually really fundamentally change the narrative and change the discussion and the debate in the UK. So just go for it and people will come and support you.
Ed, thank you so much for sharing that today. I was talking there to Ed Jarvis, and I'll make sure that a link to all the help available if you'd like to do a screening of the People's National Emergency Briefing is in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now let's hear from Chantelle Burns. She's the founder of the Conscious Leadership School. She's an executive coach and a best-selling author, and she's also been involved facilitating lots of screenings. And again, I asked her to tell us, thinking back to the first time that she saw the People's Climate Emergency Briefing, what her reaction was.
Yeah, the first time I saw the People's Emergency Briefing was at St Albans Abbey, which I also helped to organise and facilitate. So I was experiencing it from the perspective of being an organiser and seeing all these people coming in and filling the nave, this incredible building, all coming and all sharing some concern and interest. And I also watched it as a human being, as a resident, as somebody who is climate aware, who is concerned, interested. And I felt it was impactful. I felt that it helped to clarify things in a way that other stuff hadn't for me, even though I've been moving in sort of climate circles for a while and I've been advising and supporting on various things as well in my resilience work. And I felt hopeful that at last we would have something we could watch in community and discuss and really be thoughtful together about what it means and about what it means locally for us and about how we can respond to it.
What did you think of the parts of the film where you were shown other people's reaction? Did you find that at all helpful?
I think it's always helpful to recognise that other people recognise the gravity of the situation. So when I looked at those people that Chris Packham was sitting on the sofa with, some of the sort of regular folks, I could see myself in those people. And I think that's what's powerful about the film and that kind of Gogglebox style, is that you can relate to those people and that they'll say something and you think, yeah, me too. I also can't understand why we can't sort X, Y, Z out, or that some of the answers are already there for how we can adapt. Why aren't we already doing it? And some of those frustrations that come up in the film, yeah, I could absolutely relate to those.
So nationally, there's the three actions that it's hoped will result from the showings of the People's National Emergency Briefing film. But how about the individual things that it's hoped that we will go away and do?
So I think it's about going beyond individual actions. I mean, a lot of people are doing a lot already, and day to day people have enough to deal with. So this isn't about putting another thing on people's plates to do, but saying, look, actually, there are already loads of great community projects happening. There are already lots of initiatives. It's really about figuring out, what do you really enjoy doing? What do you really care about? What are you really good at? What can you bring? And what's needed? And the intersection of those three things will help you to figure out what's yours to get involved with. And it might just be jumping on board another project, your community gardening project or a food waste project. There's something for everyone to join up and be involved in. And that's great, because it's not on your shoulders. This is not one person's problem to solve, which is why there is a big emphasis on lobbying government, because a lot of this does have to come government down. But in terms of where we live locally, how can we be more resilient? I think that's the important thing, is the collective action and what we can do in community. And when we're doing stuff together in community, we feel stronger. We feel like we are making a difference. And I think that's part of it. That's part of what really helps build our resilience, feeling that we can have agency. Let's use it.
Yes, indeed. So you've been involved in lots of showings of the People's Emergency Climate Briefing now, but I just wondered if I could ask you about one particular screening, and that's the one that you did at Hertfordshire County Council. Can you just tell us a little bit about it and how it went and anything you hope might come of it?
It was great to be asked to facilitate this particular event. There were a mixture of people there, staff and members, councillors, and we were all there to watch it as human beings, as well as in people's various roles. So there was, understandably, a lot of concern. But what was great was the kinds of conversations that happened post-screening. And I was hopeful from that they would be keen to keep rolling them out. And there were lots of great ideas generated by the staff as well about things that the County Council could do, both within the County Council itself, but also within community. I actually know that over 150 councils have or are showing the People's Emergency Briefing, which is brilliant because it's for the people, but those people that work in the council have influence in their communities, like we all do, but they also have influence in their workplace too.
And who else would you encourage to host screenings of the People's National Emergency Briefing film?
Well, I think it's really important for businesses and organisations to host screenings, because businesses have a lot of influence in what happens in our environments and in our societies, so that they can engage in broader conversations about how can our business play a part in changing things for the better, how can we respond and adapt to what's happening. We've already talked about councils, and I think local government is absolutely critical, as well as central government. But even families, even friendship groups, you can host a screening at home. All you have to do is go onto the National Emergency Briefing website and you can sign up to be a host. So it can be as grand as taking over a cathedral and doing a big community event with residents. It can be as small and simple as inviting friends round to your house and having some nibbles and watching it and chatting about it. Where there are people that are connected and are able to sit and talk and think about things together and feel supported, then those are ideal communities to host a screening of this and just do what they do best, which is come together, experience something, and then explore and talk about, okay, what do we need to do based on what we've just learned?
Yeah, indeed. Now, that's great encouragement there. I was thinking things like book groups, perhaps sports groups. There's loads of groups that would be really well suited to this, aren't there? Chantelle, thank you so much for just making us think what we can do to help and to tell us about your experience with this film so far. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
I was talking there to Chantelle Burns. Now, of course, as I said, I'll pop the link to the National Emergency Briefing webpage into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com, so that you can find out more about the film and its asks, how you can see it, where you can see it. There's loads of screenings coming up locally and how you can easily host your own screening. So what do you think? Do you fancy hosting a screening? Will you be aiming to go and see a screening? Or what are your reactions? Do drop me an email on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.